Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
I've often said that people will be more willing to talk with anybody about their immortal soul, about their religion, their faith, their morality, their beliefs, than they would be to talk about their money and their finances. And money and finances are temporary. You can't take it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You've heard that one before. But your immortal soul is something that's going to carry with you forever. But people seem to want to hide from the rest of the world how they're doing financially. And here's an aha moment for you. Everybody knows how you're doing. You wear your heart on your sleeve as far as your finances are concerned. Everybody knows if you're faking it. Why not just get down to the grit of the matter and deal with your finances? So if it's easier to talk about your immortal soul than your finances, why don't we flip that around and get into the financial essence of building wealth and protecting your wealth, growing your wealth, and finding out what your wealth could actually do for you. And many people equate wealth and money with freedom. So if you think that money is going to create freedom for you, let me ask you, won't more money create more choices? Absolutely. You're always going to have more choices if you have more money. And when you have more choices, that's going to lead to complexity and chaos and confusion. We don't know where we're going to go for dinner tonight. We don't know where we're going to take our next vacation. What school should we send the kids to? A private school or public school or homeschool them? What activities should we have? Well, you can only have choices about activities if you have money to pay for them. Soccer team costs money, etc. And so more freedom equals more choices, more confusion, more chaos, more fear. The more fear you have, the more confusion you have, the more fear you're going to have, because you're going to have fear of loss. Now that you have stuff, you're going to be afraid of someone stealing it from you, of losing it in a disaster of some kind, of losing it in the market, for example. And so wealth in and of itself doesn't answer the real issues of life. There must be something more. And so I'm going to suggest to you that everybody finds a source or a foundation for their financial decisions. I'm going to suggest that we go to the Book of Wisdom, a 2,000-year-old book called the Bible, because when you come right down to it, all spending decisions have eternal consequences. So why not go to the only book that has stood the test of time as far as wisdom is concerned? Now, that may be somebody else's truth and not your truth. I'm going to propose and offer a premise that pretty much everything that you can decide in life is going to be found in the Bible. So why not go to the best book in the world to talk about finances? So here are some examples. For one, let's talk about debt. I mean, debt is a prison. There's no doubt about it. When you're in debt, you are in service to someone else. Someone else has control over your life to the extent that they control that debt that they're lending to you. And I've also said that debt is a beast. And you're going to continue to feed that beast, and no matter how much you feed that beast is going to consume and eat and destroy your peace. So there's a verse, which is Proverbs 22:7. It says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave or servant to the lender." Those are strong words. And those are 2,000-year-old truths. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you know that when you're indebted to somebody, they own you. To the extent that you're willing to give up your life emotionally, you're going to be a servant to the lender. Here's another one, giving. I believe that giving at the end of the day is the only real ultimate purpose for wealth. And in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give and it shall be given to you." So if you want to receive something, of course, that's not the best ulterior motive in the world. I want to give to get. No, I want to give to give. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again." So you might want to think about the areas in your life that you'd actually like to give. And if I had more wealth, I'd actually be able to support the causes and the people and the charities and the things that are close to my heart. So giving is a great end for the wealth that you're creating. Here's another one, and this is Luke 14:28. And it's all about counting the cost. Right now, for example, we're building a pool in our backyard, and there are all these different components that we had to take into account before we started to build the pool. First, we had to clear the land from some very large trees, part of the forest that's behind our home. And then we had to have the contractor come and actually build the pool. And then we have to have decking or stamped concrete around the pool for a leisure area. And then there has to be fencing to protect kids from going into the pool at the wrong time. And then there's lighting. And then beyond that, there's landscaping. All those items have a cost. And you've got to think about the cost of doing anything. If you're planning on going on vacation this summer, you've got to have some budget for it. And it says in Luke 14:28, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Now, again, don't worry about the embarrassment of not finishing something. Be more concerned about being a good steward of your money. Don't throw money after something that's not going to be completed. Now, here's one that is important, and I kind of feel obligated to share it with you, and that is pay your taxes. Now, Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So nobody really loves paying taxes. I sure don't. But you know what? I want to pay my taxes and I want to get that monkey off my back. I don't want to have a past due tax bill. I don't want to pay penalties and fees. I want to pay what I rightfully owe. I don't want to pay more, but I certainly don't want to pay less out of fairness, being a patriot and a citizen of this country. I want to pay for the services. Whether I agree with what the government's doing with the money is a totally different matter. Right now, we're obligated to pay taxes, and it's always going to be that way. So render unto Caesar. How about this one? This is one that I've shared with a lot of folks. Wealth without wisdom is a curse. And you can see that in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. It says, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense," this is good, "for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it." So it's important to have money. You can do a lot of things with money. You can take care of yourself and your family and give to your causes. But it's more important to have the wisdom in you so that when you come into money, when you create wealth, you'll know what to do with that money. That especially applies in my world. It applies to inheritances given to children. I've had so many clients say to me, "Well, I've got to make sure I leave my kids something." if something happens to me, I've got to pay their house off. I've got to pay their college debt off. I've got to leave them something. I've got to leave a footprint on this earth. Well, when does that footprint begin? In my view, it begins when that baby is born. I want my kids to learn about the wisdom of financial management, of stewardship, of doing the right thing with their money. And the worst thing in my mind, as far as money is concerned, that you can do with a child is leave them a large sum of money when they've never had the opportunity to manage money during their lifetime. So what if we had some bad habits? What if our kids follow our bad habits? Now our kid's 25 or 30 years old, they're married, they've got some kids, and now they're in debt. I got to tell you, they were following the old man. They were following their parents' footsteps. Why not teach them the wisdom of stewardship while they're growing up and not have, you know, $100,000 or $1 million, whatever number you want to imagine, dumped in their lap when they'll have no ability to manage it whatsoever because they didn't practice. They didn't have the experience. They didn't get the resources laid in front of them. They weren't required to read and practice. So wealth without wisdom being embedded first is more of a curse than it is a blessing. Now, like I said before, this book is 2,000 years old. There is nothing concerning the issues of life that are not addressed in the Book of Wisdom or the Bible. It's a 2,000-year-old book. And actually, when it comes to finances, there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal directly with finances, with saving, with lending at interest, with compound interest, with requiring a rate of return on money that you put out into some market vehicle or put money into some enterprise. All these things are addressed there, which leads me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. It says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. So if you think your issues concerning your life today, your financial life, your debt, your obligations, your emergencies, your responsibility to take care of your kids, your family, your obligation to your employees and to your business and to your customers. If you think those things are unique, they're really not. Human nature is the way human nature has always been. There is additional complexity added to the equation because, for example, we're doubling our body of knowledge every so many months. And as we go through the generations, that doubling of knowledge occurs more and more frequently. 50 years ago, knowledge was doubling every 10 years, every 15 years. 10 or 15 years ago, knowledge was doubling every 24 months. And now, because of the Internet of Things, knowledge is doubling every several days, perhaps. It really doesn't make any difference. The technicality of how often knowledge doubles isn't that important. What's important is that we have a lot of noise that's running through the airwaves, that's coming across to us through the internet. Noise getting into our brains, into our minds, into our ears. And many would think financial choices are getting more complex. Well, they're really not getting more complex. There's only five uses for money. You're going to use part of your money to live today, your lifestyle today, your obligations today, your electricity bill, your tuition payment, your lifestyle today. You're going to use some of your money, hopefully, to give, to do good. You're going to use some of your money to pay the debts that you owe. And owing debt actually comes into two categories, owing taxes, which, as we mentioned earlier, pay those taxes and get them out of the way, get them behind you. Don't have taxes over your head and creating an obligation and a burden that you worry about at night. And the other part of owing and debt is the debt that you create, the credit, the obligations, the mortgages, the car loans, the leases, and so forth. And at the end of the day, hopefully, the fifth use for money is growing it. Because if you sit down and make a list, you'll have a lot of reasons why you should grow some money for the future. Why would you want to work and earn, say, $100,000 during the year, and at the end of the year, literally have nothing additional added to your savings? So that would mean that you're 100% debtor or servant or slave to somebody else. So just wanted to share with you a couple of verses from the Book of Wisdom, let you know that there's nothing new under the sun. There's a lot of wisdom there. This is the place where I take all of my cues. Now, you can remove, if you like, the faith element, but the truth is the truth. If a debtor is a servant to the lender, that's true whether you put that in the context of faith or not. You need to count the cost of any enterprise. That's true regardless of your faith foundation. So I hope this helps. Hope you'll connect and follow us. Thanks.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.